Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is at dinner with his disciples. It could be a meal like any other, but he knows that it is not. He knows it is the last meal he will eat with them before he is arrested and put to death. He has tried to tell them what will happen, but they just don't understand. They don't want to understand. He is trying to prepare them for his absence, to reassure them that he is not abandoning them. He is giving them words to hold on to remember when he is no longer physically present with them. For 4 weeks this Easter season, we are reading Jesus' words from this last meal, sometimes called the farewell discourse, which goes on in John's gospel for 5 chapters. Jesus had a lot to say that night. It seems to me kind of a strange thing to read during the Easter season, but perhaps it is true that neither the first disciples nor we can understand the words of Jesus without the reality of the resurrection. And perhaps these are just the words of reassurance that we need now, living as we do after the resurrection, but still without the physical presence of Jesus. We read last week that Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. Bear fruit by your abiding, remaining in me." This week, Jesus invites us deeper with the words, "Abide in my love." What does that mean to abide in Jesus? Is there any instruction book for abiding in his love? First, Jesus tells us that abiding in him is something we do when we keep his commandments, particularly the command to love one another. The First Nations version, indigenous translation that we sometimes use, doesn't use the word abide. It says, "Never stop walking this road of love. As you walk in my ways, my love will remain in you." I like this idea of abiding as walking the good road with Jesus. It seems more active and participatory somehow. It gives us something to do. We have seen love incarnate in the life of Jesus, and we are invited to live the same way to the best of our ability. In the weekly Working Preacher podcast, Professor Matt Skinner says, "At the end of the day, we are a community that has been shown what love looks like. We've been empowered to love, and we've been called to love." This active love for one another and for all our neighbors around the world is a part of abiding in Jesus' love. Another part is the way that we can learn to rest in God, to center ourselves in God's love for us. Abiding in Jesus is a way of living in mindfulness and gratitude for what God has done for us in Jesus. We can remember that Jesus has promised to always be with us and nurture our awareness of Jesus walking always by our side. I was recently talking with my friend Francesca about a healing prayer workshop offered at her church. Now, she's in an Episcopal church, and this was a little outside the comfort zone of her folks. And she and her priest were talking the next day, debriefing the workshop, which gave 5 steps for healing prayer. And one of them said, "But what if it doesn't work?" And then the other reflected that the first step is asking someone if you can pray for them. And the second step is listening to them. And the third step is recognizing and calling on the presence of God. And Francesca and I thought that dwelling in the presence of God's love is sometimes just the healing we need. We may have reached healing by step three. Sometimes healing doesn't mean a cure, but does mean abiding in God's love. In recent years, I have changed the way I pray with someone who is ill or grieving. I used to pray, God be with this person, but now I pray, God, we know that you are always with us, but we can't always see you. I ask that you give this loved one a special awareness of your presence with them in this hard time. Abiding in Jesus' love. It is helpful here to remember that God is with us even when we don't feel like it. It doesn't depend on us. The love and presence of God doesn't depend on what we feel or what we do. Jesus reminds his disciples at that last meal that you did not choose me, but I chose you. In the blog from the Salt Project, the commentator writes, Jesus assures his disciples that his love doesn't depend on them. Rather, they can depend on his love come what may. The poignancy here, and therefore the consolation, is almost unbearable. For these friends to whom Jesus speaks in this passage will deny and desert him later that very night. It's as if he's saying, you don't know it yet, but in just a few hours from now, you will have good reason to doubt yourselves, your faith, and your integrity as never before. But don't worry. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You may find yourself fickle and afraid, but my love for you is steadfast. Nothing you do can change it, even the unspeakable things you will do tonight. I chose you, I choose you, and I commission you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Works of love for the sake of joy. And this brings us around to the purpose that Jesus gives for our abiding in him. That we may share his joy in the Father's love for us. The joy of belonging in God, the joy of belonging in the community of God's people, the joy of knowing ourselves to be beloved, chosen, forgiven, and called. This joy is the mark of all the challenges of life. This joy in the midst of all the challenges of life is a mark of abiding in Christ. For some years now, I've been reading and sharing the work of Dr. Kate Bowler. Many of you have probably heard me talk about her. Dr. Bowler teaches church history at Duke Divinity School and is an inspirational writer who addresses the realities of a life which is full of joy and pain. A life which will never be as perfect as we hope, or as perfect as Facebook and our self-help American anything is possible culture tries to tell us it will be. Yet even so, it is filled with beauty and blessing. When Dr. Bowler was 35, a seminary professor with a promising career in front of her, a new mom who planned to have a larger family, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And much of her work is based in this sudden overturning of her expectations of life and the way that her faith and her sense of God's presence changed and grew in those years. I recently read an interview with Kate in which she said, "Well, it was something of a surprise, I think. I was just kind of a regular, ambitious person climbing ladders, dreaming dreams, and then I got a sudden diagnosis. And then all of a sudden, in the worst moments of my life, I'm thrown into a constant hospital world and an anxious look on everyone's face and a looming sense of despair. And weirdly enough, I realized that the new world where I was living was a place where God lived somehow. And I honestly couldn't quite figure it out. What is this weird place? What is the sense that God is present in the people who are visiting me when I didn't always love the person across the hall I shared a printer with? And yes, it was weird. But now I think of God's presence as like a place that I visit. And it was a place I was introduced to in the worst moments of my life. And now it's a place I have to cultivate. Kate doesn't use these words, but this sounds to me a lot like abiding in God's love. And she cultivates that presence of God for herself and for others by writing blessings that take in the full, beautiful, terrible reality of life. Her most recent book is called Have a Beautiful, Terrible Day. Such as this blessing for choosing to wake ourselves up to wonder, which perfectly encapsulates her wry wit and irreverence and her deep love for God. So I'll close with her blessing. Well, God, here we are. Some days the storms roll in and threaten to sweep us all away. But others are calendar notifications and wet hair and that sense of unfocused urgency. Shouldn't I be somewhere? No? Well, I suppose it's me and you, Lord. I would rather scroll through Instagram and TikTok where, rather conveniently, I will not feel the need for you, to cry for you, reach for you. If I try very hard, or barely at all, today, I might not think of you at all. Except, if you don't mind, let me notice you. Show up in the small necessities and everyday graces. God, be toast, be water, be laundry, be the coffee cup in my hand and the reason to calm down in traffic. Be the gentler tone in my insistence today that people pick up after themselves for once. Be the reason I feel loved when I catch my own reflection and feel myself lurching toward self-loathing. Today, God, be louder than my errands and my routines and my easiest routes to escape myself. Calm my mind. Lift my spirit with your Holy One and make this absurd regular day my prayer of thanks.